All right, Scott here. I'm the history guy. And my recent travels, I'm driving around, and I see this sign. I'm like, I had no idea. That College Township celebrating its 150th anniversary. Ring the bell for that. All right, there we go. And so I reached out to the folks, and luckily our new friend Mike responded. Mike Bloom from College Township. Mike, first, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us today. All right.
Appreciate the opportunity to come in and talk to you.
So we'll talk a little history. We'll talk a little topics. We'll save that for a little bit later on. First off, let's get some background, if we could. Tell something about you. Like, in other words, your College Township, what do you do? What do you handle?
Sure. So I'm the assistant township manager for College Township. I've been at College Township just a little over 5 years at this point, a little over 3 years in this position. But I'm not a newbie to Center County. I spent 16 years in the Center County Planning Office before I came to College Township. So kind of a known commodity, and when the opportunity presented itself, it was just a great chance to come to college and do good work for the residents of College Township.
Now, for folks who aren't familiar, now you're the assistant, but you said township manager. What exactly does a township manager do?
Oh, I can answer this one.
No,
they manage the township there, Scott. All right, next question.
I got you covered, Mike.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. Now, honestly, township managers tend to be the ultimate generalists. So while we're the primary administrative staff to the township, we oversee functions like planning and zoning, public works, engineering. In College Township, our College Township Manager, Adam Brumbaugh, also oversees the College Township Water Authority. So we touch a lot of things, and then obviously in terms of our cooperative efforts with COG, our reach is much broader than just College Township. So we're one of the member entities to COG and involved in all the good work that COG does as well.
That sounds kind of boring, Mike.
Some days.
It's kind of dry. In other words, you're behind all the things that make everything else work.
Right. Now, I mean, we're obviously at the top of the org chart, but there's a great team there that really makes the work happen. We just oversee it and make sure that we're following up on the guidance provided by our elected council.
Here's a question, Mike. We should have a map in this room of like Center County or something. We need to get a map. How big is College Township? And I ask that because I know where your municipal building is.
Right.
It's, you know, it's College Avenue and 322 right there, sort of on that corner, if you will. But sometimes I'm out and about, like for instance, Linden Hall Road. All right, I'm from Penns Valley, and when I come to the studio, I come from that direction, and I come usually either through or around Linden Hall. And there's this College Township sign. I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm on Bowlesburg's doorstep. This should be Harris Township.
Right.
What is that? That somebody, is this a joke? Somebody put that sign up there? How big is your township?
You know, in terms of square miles, I don't have the exact number here. College Township is a big township. So, you know, in terms of landmarks, I can give you some idea. You know, the obvious ones for College Township in our footprint. Bryce Jordan Center, Beaver Stadium, are part of College Township. On the other side, Lamont's, working our way out towards Linden Hall Road, that's part of College Township. The Nittany Mall, going out to basically the Rockview land, that's part of College Township. So we have a pretty wide footprint in terms of the overall township.
See, now that's interesting. Bryce Jordan Center and Beaver Stadium, why, that's University Park.
Right.
All right. So the township, I'm thinking about buying a ticket at a game or something. College Township gets a little something from that, correct?
Yeah, we do. So I was listening to your last guest talk. You know, he talked about the Luke Combs concert. That this year was a great event for us at College Township. We get an impact fee. We obviously are a partner with the university and other organizers for those types of events. So when there's non-NCAA events, like the concerts at the Jordan Center or at Beaver Stadium, College Township does get a percentage off the ticket to cover our costs and to benefit the efforts of our township.
Now, the NCAA events would be sports games. You guys don't get anything from that.
No cutoff Penn State football tickets.
No. Another reason to despise the NCAA. There we go.
Like we needed another
Like
reason.
We needed more of those. So I'm driving by your headquarters or the municipal building. I'm seeing this 150th anniversary sign. I thought, I want to know more because I have no knowledge of the history of College Township.
Right.
So let's sort of do, I don't know, like a Cliff Notes version. give us the history of College Township.
Yeah, and preparing to come in and talk to you guys, honestly, I went to my cheat sheet. There's a great article right now in the Town and Gown that references our anniversary in the history. So I kind of am looking at that timeline that has been put together in collaboration with some of our volunteers on our sesquicentennial, 150th anniversary committee. And right at the top, you know, you look at when was Center County formed. Center County was formed in 1800. And it was formed from sections of Northumberland, Lycoming, Mifflin, and Huntington counties. 75 years later, so 1875, the residents voted to form College Township. College Township was formed from land associated with Harris, to your earlier point, and Potter Townships. So, yeah, 150 years ago, the residents determined it was time to form another township here in Center County, and so came about College Township.
Now, you're the, and I'm thinking of the so-called center region, you're the oldest township, or Harris is the oldest township?
Harris obviously predates us,
okay.
And I'm not sure overall where the others are, what their anniversary dates are specifically, but yeah, you know, 150 for us.
But they, I mean, Patton and Ferguson, they would be younger than College.
Yeah, I'd have to look into the history of that. I'm not specifically sure when their formation date was.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a real Penn Stater, you know about the Farmers High School, and you got that shield that says 1855 right on it. College Township formed because of the university? Is there with a connection there?
I'm sure there was some connection. You know, they were about 20 years in at that point when College Township was formed, and you could see some growth starting to be associated with the college and the efforts going on there. So at that time, I'm sure there was some logic that, okay, we're seeing some growth here. We're seeing some development within this area that's kind of in between Harrison and Potter Townships. It's probably time to organize a local government for our folks.
I mean, I don't know this, but I'm assuming Patton was a person. Ferguson was a person. Harris was a person.
Right.
I don't think College was a person.
No, not a specific person per se. A lot of College Township history ties back to the Center Furnace Mansion, as well as the iron furnace there, which, you know, obviously is still existing today. That is a piece of the puzzle. In 1791, actually John Patton, Colonel John Patton, arrived in what is now College Township and purchased about 8,000 acres of property. He and his partner Samuel Miles then went about constructing Center Furnace. So that was kind of one of those initial early landmarks for the area that became College Township.
Yeah, it's interesting. Now, I live in Penns Valley. Miles Township is not far from my home.
Right.
Miles was a person.
Sure.
So it's interesting, all these early, I guess, settlers show up and do things, and we name things after
right
them.
Right. Yeah, I know. And you're exactly right. The college, again, probably is tied back to the Farmers College. That was where they came about the nomenclature for the name. But yeah, most of these other municipalities are tied to one of our original founders.
So Patton purchased 8,000 acres.
Yes.
That's a lot of ground. Who'd he purchase it from? Do you know?
I don't know offhand. I don't know.
Not from the Indians or
no.
something? Or it's like, that's quite a purchase.
Right.
That sounds like Yellowstone or something, you know, out there, Bonanza, out west or something.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. 8,000 acres. I don't, all right, in 150 years' time, have there been, like, I don't know, highlights, like things that have popped up and happened during that 150-year period?
Sure. There's an awful lot. And, again, I'm going to give credit where credit's due. The article that's in the Town and Gown
that's
is wonderful and touches on a lot of that. You know, the foundation of Lamont actually goes back the whole way to the 1790s. And Christian Dale moved into what was the future Lamont location and established the sawmill and gristmill. Gristmill still stands today. Originally, that village was known as the End of the Mountain. And over time, it became a little bit more formed and became an official village. About 1948, Route 26 punched through the area, went right through Lamont. It was rerouted at that point to bypass the village. So kind of that existing alignment that you see today. 1979, they formed their own village association, which is still active today, and one of our partners, and actually a couple of our key volunteers on this sesquicentennial committee, come out of the Lamont Village Association. They're the keepers of a lot of our history, along with the Center County Historical Society. So there's a lot of things. You know, you think about some of those other early developments. Obviously, you mentioned Penn State, the county hospital. Belfont Hospital, obviously, it was 1902. At some point along there, they established their new location, the second building, 1972, which became Mount Nittany Medical Center over time. Back in the 60s, Corning Glassworks, 66, they came along and became a kind of key employer. 68 time frame, the establishment of the Nittany Mall. Those are kind of two of our key, you know, what we like to characterize as defining developments for College Township. At one time, that was kind of our hub. You saw a lot of activity out there. They were main generators of, you know, attracting people in, as well as being our key employers. So yeah, there's quite a history that ties back to College Township.
So Mount Nittany is in College Township,
right?
Correct. When is the township council, whatever, going to bring back Nittany Lions? is that part of the plan? We're going to bring the. We're not talking about athletes now. We're talking about animals.
Yeah, I don't think we have that one in the strategic plan
really?
At this point.
Oh, come on! I mean, out west they're bringing back what, coyotes and mountain lions and so on. I figure we just need real Nittany Lions up on the mountain.
We'll probably defer to the state on that one.
he's got a punt. Oh, come on, Mike. I'm hurt. All right, we're going to take a break right here. When we come back, if it's okay, Mike, want to talk some municipal issues. You mentioned mall.
Yep.
I got questions about that and some other things. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We're looking for Nittany Lions. They're out there somewhere. We will come back right after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during the Belfont Cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BelfontCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BelfontCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Dotter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Dotter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Dotter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Dotter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Thursday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. Again, we'll have a little open phone time coming up in the final segment of this morning's big show.
Again, Mike Bloom from College Township Government, we'll say, is our guest for another segment. 150th anniversary. Be on the lookout for different events that are going to be happening and so on, because that's pretty cool, 150 years. Let's talk some issues or some other topics. The casino, Nittany Mall. Let's start with Nittany Mall.
Okay.
Now, I mentioned right before we came back, yesterday I'm in Allentown. I'm at the Lehigh Valley Mall, which was a very vibrant, every storefront filled, two-story mall. Very active. And then I look at the Nittany Mall. All right. Now, Nittany Mall's in College Township. There's a casino going in. But before we get to that, I mean, Mike, is there something, I don't know, township government can do to revitalize that mall? Because it's I'm going to be blunt, it's depressing walking through the mall. It's like everything's empty.
Well, in terms of actually developing or redeveloping the mall, it's limited, you know, as to what township government can do. I kind of liken us as stage setters. So one of the things that we're working on in that area around the Nittany Mall right now is the change to our zoning code. Traditional zoning is very use-based, so you think about your industrial areas, your commercial areas, your residential areas. They're very kind of fragmented based on use. What we're looking at is what's called a form-based code, which takes the use piece kind of out of the equation and looks more about the context of how the development occurs. So when you think about that area of College Township, it is very fragmented in how the development has happened over time. We're trying to blur those lines a little bit through this use of form based code and make it more of a mixed-use development. So when you think about mixed-use, you think about areas where you can live, work, and play. And that's our end goal for something like that. And that's really the type of stuff that College Township can do. We can kind of create the canvas and then provide an opportunity for developers to come and take advantage of that. And revitalization of the mall would be a piece of that puzzle. Obviously, it's a key property right there in the middle of the Dale Summit area that we're looking at. And it's something that we're mindful of as we're doing this. We recognize that's going to be kind of a keystone to the overall development. So we're hoping to see a revitalization of that property through this work. Some of that is, you know, new rooftops and new energy in the area. That's really our end goal. When we look at the Nittany Mall, is how can we provide some life to that area that makes that mall more attractive for future developers?
All right, now that zoning change sounds interesting. Is it difficult to make a zoning change? Why don't you snap your fingers and just do it?
Uh-huh.
I wish it was that easy. I wish it was that easy. We actually hired a consultant well over a year ago to provide that, and they've provided a draft. And right now what we're working through with our planning commission and council is fine-tuning the draft of that code to fit what the needs of College Township are. That's a long process. It's tedious work, so we're taking it kind of in bite-sized chunks at this point. So my hope at this point is the end of the year we're prepared to bring a draft code to the table and have discussions with the community about it.
Is the state involved with this somehow?
Nope.
No involvement. Nope. Nothing from Harrisburg. Nothing to worry about from down there.
No, this was entirely driven out of College Township and our council and the recognition that we needed to do something different in that area. Obviously, development had stagnated and in some places has declined, Nittany Mall being a fair example of that. You know, it kind of followed the traditional retail trends across the nation. You saw the anchor stores dry up, and they weren't replaced with in-kind anchor stores. I mean, we've got some good tenants out at the Nittany Mall today, but it's not the Macy's, the Sears, the JCPenney's of the days gone by. It's a different level of retail that's in there at the moment.
Well, Sears is long gone.
Right.
I think they're hanging on by an online thread somewhere. JCPenney might be the same. I'm not sure. All right, so the former Macy's, there's a casino going in there. Is that 100% absolute knock it down going to happen?
Under construction at the moment.
Okay. Yeah, so I've seen all the walls, you know, the whole parking area is kind of cordoned off and so on. Yeah. I assume there's a timeline?
Their hope, what we've heard out of them is early 2026 for their opening. We're thinking the first quarter of 2026 for that grand opening. But yeah, they're well into construction at this point.
Okay. So it's going to open up, hopefully, in early 2026. I'm assuming the assumption is first tons of people will show up, and then, okay, maybe some other stores will start showing up in some of these other spots. That's the plan?
That was, you know, if you go back to the very early discussions of gaming in College Township back in 2017 when the state put that question out on the table, one of the things that the township looked at is, look, we don't know if this will happen or not, but we see this as another tool in the toolbox to help with the revitalization efforts. And that's been their interest from the get-go. Again, when you think back to 2017, at that time, the mall was in pretty bad straits. You were losing quite a few of your anchor tenants, and it was on a really bad trajectory. And this was an opportunity that if someone were to take advantage of it, to maybe breathe some life into that facility, get some foot traffic into it. So that's been our interest all along, is what do we do to set the stage to, you know, maybe revitalize that property. And that's where the discussions around the casino have been with our council and previous councils moving forward.
There are still, I think, some people out there that don't like this idea, the casino.
Correct.
Now, what do you say to them?
I recognize that all the concerns that come forward are valid concerns. You know, some of it that ties back to context. A lot of the statistics and things that have been put in front of us tie back to much larger casino operations. You're talking Las Vegas, Atlantic City, and sure, there were issues in those areas, and we're not blind to the fact that there may be some issues associated with a small Category 4 casino as well. To that end, one of the things that our council is committed to is the development of our own independent local casino impact report. So that work is underway right now, and it's looking at an evaluation of the potential demand for this location, what type of clientele, what kind of foot traffic are we anticipating, and what are the impacts associated with that, both positive and negative. For our council, who's the primary audience of that report, that's important information. One, we know that with the casino, yeah, there's probably going to be a decent revenue stream that comes to the township as well as to the county through a statewide grant program. What can we do with that to mitigate any of those potential negative impacts that are out there? And there, too, what can we do with that to maximize the benefits of being one of these host communities? So that's an effort that's underway right now. Our consultant that is doing this has a wealth of history and experience with the gaming industry and has done these types of impact studies all across the country and actually internationally. And they're looking at exactly that. What impacts could be associated with that? And it starts with developing an understanding of what's the clientele going to be and what's the demand for this new location. So they've been in town. They were in town earlier this month and came and talked to us. They talked to township specifically. They talked to our fire organization. They talked to local police. They have a connection now with the casino operator here locally. They also made a whirlwind road tour around the state and looked at all the other Category 4s and have made connections with those locations to have discussion about what they've seen since the opening of these casinos. What kind of impacts are they seeing? What kind of revenue streams are they seeing? Just to get a broad understanding of what the potential is for this location. Each one's a little different. Each market's a little different. This one's probably a little bit of a, you know, has peaks and valleys in terms of events. Obviously around football and, you know, Fourth Fest, you're probably going to see peaks. But, you know, what's that potential for this casino? And then understanding what potential negative impacts are out there. That's what we tell anyone that may be coming in and has concerns about it, is we're doing a deep dive to try to understand that and do what we can do on our end to mitigate whatever negative impacts may be associated with this facility.
What is the closest casino right now to here?
Probably the closest as the crow flies is Shippensburg. They have a small Category 4 casino there as well. There's one in Pittsburgh. There's one in Morgantown. They're kind of spread all over the state. But, yeah, the closest to Category 4 at this point is probably Shippensburg.
Now, what does Category 4 mean again?
So Category 4 is a category of overall casino development, and it's the smallest that's available in the state of Pennsylvania. It's limited to 750 slots and, I believe, up to 40 table games. And that's the scale of casino we're talking about here at the Nittany Mall.
All right, Hollywood, the one north of Harrisburg, is bigger than that, apparently?
Yeah, I believe it is. I believe it is. Not sure what category it is, but, yeah, it's a little bit bigger. Early on in this discussion, we actually took a road trip with council to see one, to understand what we were getting into. And we looked at the one that's in Greensburg at the mall there, just outside of Pittsburgh. And just trying to understand exactly the scale of this. And it's actually situated in a mall location as well, to just understand what this property may look like, and also have a discussion with our peers at the municipality there to understand what they're seeing. And it was very early on. Obviously, these things started opening up during COVID, so you had to kind of take that with a grain of salt as to what their utilization was. We should have a much better sample size now to understand what the impacts of the Category 4s are, and that's what our consultant's been charged to do.
All right. Let's go to the solar array question. Mr. Ironhead, you take this one, because you get fired up a little bit over this one.
I'll just let you... what's your take on it with where we're at right now? And let's just start there. Your overall take. I'd be more interested in hearing what you have to say on where we're at and where we're headed with it now.
Understood. Yeah, College Township is one of the partners. There's 10 partners in this regional solar power purchasing agreement. The process has been a little bit clunky over time, and certainly it's had a spotlight cast on it. I think the end goal was well intended, that we're trying to find a way to, one, green the grid a little bit in terms of different types of power, and also pass the savings on to our residents. So that's really kind of the end goals for us. I mean, this thing goes back, predates me at College Township. 2017-18 was kind of the genesis of this discussion. And, you come forward to this point, and obviously it's been in the news. There's been some concern about how it's been handled. I believe everything was done above board. I was involved as part of the committee that put some of this together. And again, I kind of look at the end game for this. Do I think that there's a return on investment? I believe in a couple years we're going to see that.
You do?
Okay. I do believe that.
You don't feel like the company involved has been playing shenanigans?
For them, I'm sure it's a little bit of a moving target, given the regulatory environment, given the political environment. It's a little bit of a moving target. I think they have negotiated in good faith.
Okay.
Through our consultant that we're using, it hasn't been easy because they're dealing with that bit of a moving target. But overall, I do believe that they've negotiated in good faith.
So this is going to get paid for. It's going to work splendidly. All that stuff, right, Mike?
That's the hope. That's the hope.
Okay, that's a hope.
That's the hope. Yeah. Now, and I do believe, and again, there's the one piece of the puzzle is you never quite know what's going to happen with the energy market. If the energy market continues on its existing trajectory, I think this thing will be a cost saver long term for the center region. If for some unexpected reason the energy market were to take a significant dip, then there's the question of, was this a worthwhile investment? But, looking at those historic trends, I believe that we're looking at a cost savers over time. It's going to take a little while to recoup the investment. For College Township, I believe the best estimate at this point was about 3 years into the contract that we'll see a recouping of our initial outlay. But I'm willing to bet on that at this point.
Now, I think you said 10 partners?
Yeah.
Now, some folks have backed out. Am I correct on that?
Over time, yeah. Initially, I believe there was as many as 15.
Okay, so now there's 10. Is that a solid 10 that you know of?
We're at that point where folks are starting to lock in their agreements. So yeah, we're pretty much solid at 10.
Okay. And this is going to be finished when?
There's a contract language that says that the developer has to have the array up, I believe it is in October of next year, to be operating. So they picked this location. Initially, they were talking Walker Township. They had the prerogative to look at another location if it was more viable. They're now looking at a location in Clarion County. They have to get that thing up and operating pretty soon, so they're under a bit of a deadline at this point.
Here's where I'd like to think I'm a smart guy, and I'm really not, okay? They're putting this thing in Clarion County,
right.
But you folks here are going to benefit from it.
Correct.
How does that work?
We get benefit from the having that array added to the grid. So we get a benefit back from the cost savings that they recoup and the putting energy into the grid itself. You know, one of the misunderstandings, and I think in a lot of this, was if you put this in, that's strictly your energy. No, it's just adding green energy to the grid. We're making an investment in the overall grid, and in doing that, we're getting energy at a much lower rate, and that's the piece of the puzzle that I don't think a lot of folks had totally understood, is that, you know, even if when we were talking Walker Township, you weren't necessarily going to be out there standing and saying, well, that energy is going directly to College Township. No, it's going to the grid, and we're recouping the cost of them putting it into the grid and the cost savings associated with that.
All right. We'll see if this works out in the long term.
Right.
That's interesting. All right, one more question here. I know some people out there are talking about regional consolidation again. You mentioned center region, which is that fancy term we've used for all these decades now. 30 years ago, there was an election. Boom, it went right down in flames. Dubois just had a consolidation with their surrounding township, which is an area that my old job I used to work, so I'm familiar with it. And so I've been thinking, is this going to come up again here? Well, Mike, is this going to come up again here?
The discussions around consolidation kind of pop up every few years in the center region, and there's reasons to think about it in terms of the scale of the community and the types of services that we're doing. You know, one of the reasons I think it failed went back in the 90s was the idea of local control. You know, the bigger you get in terms of government, the further away you get from your constituency. And that's one of the benefits of municipal government in the state of Pennsylvania. You're pretty small. You're pretty local. So for College Township, we're between 10 and 11,000 individuals. Those folks have direct access to College Township if they so choose. And, you know, to be able to come in and have that discussion, to elect their peers, to make decisions on their behalf. When you consolidate, you kind of move away from that center a little bit and kind of move that up. That's probably the tug and pull in terms of consolidation. But this is a conversation that seems to come up every few years. It ebbs and flows over time. And I'm not going to say that there's not some rationale behind the idea of consolidation, but there's just as many reasons not to. And that's why I think there's always been that kind of tug and pull over that discussion.
Hmm. Now, I'm from Penns Valley, so in a sense, I don't have a dog in this fight, so
sure.
To speak. It just makes sense to me, Mike. It's time for this to happen. And what my recollection from 30 years ago, State College borough people, all for it. Townships were like, thumbs down. Has anything changed in 30 years, or is that still the feeling out there? This is an opinion question. What do you think?
Sure. Yeah. Then again, I'll state my opinion. I don't know that it's changed that much. For our township, there would have to be a really compelling reason to enter into that discussion, to take some of that decision point away from the resident, or at least move it a little further away from the resident in terms of larger government. There's probably are some municipalities where it makes some more sense than it does for College Township. But right now, like I said, I think you can argue both sides of it, and there's not one side that, the argument for, let me take that back, there's the argument for consolidation isn't so strong that it doesn't outweigh the argument for just staying status quo.
All right, let's suppose a little bit. What would it take to convince you or College Township people or government or whatever that, yeah, we should do this? What would it take?
For me, as the admin bureaucrat that, that I am, it quickly becomes a financial issue. Is at what point is it becoming impractical financially for a municipality to go it alone, and it makes sense to consolidate services? That I think is probably would be the point where you start to see the sway the other way. But we haven't reached that point, at least for College Township. I can't speak to the other municipalities.
Ironhead, you got a thought?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I do think from a services standpoint that it to me would make a lot of sense. I also think the fact that you have COG, though, and in areas where it makes sense, we do see kind of, all right, let's get together, figure out this or that. And, yeah, there's going to be some disagreements, as there would be if you had a consolidated one government entity. The other thing that and I don't disagree that there's, as you said, there's advantages to it. I do think there are some different objectives right now within the townships of, like, College is a really, to me, it's probably the most interesting township in terms of the diversity of land uses, of, as you said, I mean, you have the, Medler Field and Beaver Stadium and the Bryce Jordan Center on one end, you have Spring Creek Park, which is kind of its own little world there. You have Mount Nittany. You have the Nittany Mall and the area around it. I mean, it really is a uniquely distinctive township in the area. But there's some objectives there that I don't think fall in line with what Ferguson Township is trying to do. And not better or worse. It's just there's different land uses. There's different things that, the governments are looking at as important to their constituents, or the constituents are looking at as important for their township governments to take care of. I worry about the how it would be set up, and I'm not necessarily opposed to it, but I do think somehow you've got to have relatively equal representation from the various townships, because, again, to me, there's very different interests there depending on where you're at in the center region.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head. Each of the municipalities are very distinct. And very distinct in terms of their needs, and very distinct in terms of their aspirations as well. So I think that in of itself is a reason not to. I think you're hitting on a key point. Me again as the administrator, I kind of look at the dollars and cents as well. And you're exactly right. In some ways, some of the benefits of consolidation are achieved through the collaboration of the COG.
Yeah.
COG is a wonderful organization. Has, whether folks want to believe it or not, has saved the residents of the center region a significant amount of money over the years that it's been in place. I mean, the services that are provided through COG, the level of services provided through COG, we couldn't do individually.
Yeah.
At the cost that we're doing. And each of us, we partner in certain ways. So a great example for College Township is we don't have a police force. We contract our police force through State College Borough. Harris Township does the same thing. Ferguson, Patton, they have chosen to have their own police force for the reasons that were important to them.
Yeah.
But for us, it didn't make sense. We haven't reached that level of needing that. Fire service is a phenomenal example of that, and that's a pressure point in the center region, quite honestly. As volunteerism continues to dip, we're seeing more and more pressure for the concept of a paid fire company. And to deliver that service individually isn't viable. To deliver it through COG, I think there's a pathway to viability. So those are the kind of things that, your point is very valid, is what we've been able to accomplish through COG has probably achieved a lot of the goals and a lot of, addressed a lot of the arguments for consolidation.
Yeah.
Well, if you put mountain lions on Mount Nittany, yeah, you need more emergency services. So that's not a good idea.
What's the matter with you?
I retract that earlier idea.
All right.
I thought it was fun. Mike, we appreciate you coming in. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it, guys.
And please keep us up to date on some of these upcoming activities and so on.
Sure.
They sound really fun.
If we've got a moment, can I take one more shameless plug? Going back to our earlier discussion on 150th, you mentioned some events coming up. Our next event is College Township Night at the Spikes. This has been an annual event for us. So Saturday, August 9th, this is going to be kind of our typical event on steroids, guys. It's going to be much larger than we typically do. But that, we would ask you to mark your calendars. Anyone that's interested and enjoys the Spikes like I do, come on out and celebrate with us the 150th of College Township. We've got a couple more events coming up this fall. Soup and Song in Lamont Village at the Lamont Village Green. That's Friday, September 19th. And then we have our official 150th ceremony on Sunday, November 23rd. It's actually a day after the date. We'll be marking that with some guests. We have some conversations about what well we want to do with that. Still taking some shape. So again, just put those on your calendars, folks. They're good events.
Very cool.
So the actual day is the Nebraska football game. Good avoidance.
There might have been a reason around that.
That's probably a good move, Mike. Hey,
yeah.
Thanks again.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.